We'd like to say a very warm welcome this evening to our brother Patrick as he comes to give his testimony. There's one thing about Patrick, and is you have to look up to him, that's one thing for sure. It's either that or you cut about a few inches off his legs and bring him down to your own size, but I don't think we can do that operation tonight. So therefore we want to give him a very warm welcome, and he's going to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for him. And I'm sure at times, Patrick, you have difficulty to understand what the people of Northern Ireland are really saying. They say we talk very fast. I don't know that or whether that's true or not. And also maybe we talk broad and other things as well. Nevertheless, we have probably the same problems with yourselves as well. Just we don't know exactly what you're talking about. Certainly as far as your government is concerned, we don't know what they're doing. But nevertheless, that's only by the way. And it's certainly lovely to have you. We bid you welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that God will bless you just as you testify for your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Reverend McCrae for those words of welcome as he measures me up here in the pulpit. You might have to get a crane out, I'm not too sure. There we go. It's a real privilege to be here to give a word of testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. As Mr. McCrae was saying there about my height, I was giving my testimony a few weeks back, and the minister made mention about not worrying about being too long as he gives your testimony. And I said, it's too late for that. I am too long. I can't do much about it. But I can speak about what the Lord has done for me in my life. It's a real privilege to be with you this evening. It's always a humbling thing as well to share a word of testimony. I trust the Lord will give help and even speak to someone here this evening. Maybe some of you can identify and relate to certain situations that I went through in my own life. And I trust the Lord will speak to you and even bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be your own Savior. I want to read a verse from John chapter 8 and verse number 32. John chapter 8 and verse number 32. This was really the first verse that ever I read after I was saved. And they are words that have always been very much upon my heart. They were the first words of Scripture which I learnt off by heart. They're not very long in themselves, but they are full of truth and full of great meaning. I just want to read John 8 and verse 32. Very familiar words. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I'm sure each of us here this evening that can testify to what Christ has done for us can take these words and thank God for them. To know the truth is what makes us free. And that truth, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have the great privilege that many people have over here in this country of growing up within a Christian home. And I can go through all the different things and say that I never went to Sunday school, and I never attended a gospel preaching church, and I never really opened up the Bible and read what God says in his precious word. And I can just really summarize those things by saying that up until I was about 16 years old, I had no knowledge or real understanding of the gospel of Christ. Which meant that I went on in my life just like all my friends did, and all those around me carried on in the way of this world. I was brought up in a family that I can say was a very good family, morally speaking. We were brought up well, and although it wasn't a Christian family, and those important Christian influences were never really upon us, yet it was a family that was moral and taught us the right way to live in life as best as we knew how. Sadly, my parents divorced, though, whenever I was youngish in age. And after I remarried, and we spent years, my mum, as we grew up together, my sister and my brothers, it was really only then that the things of God came into our knowledge and into our understanding. It came about really from my mum, as she remarried, and this man he married was an atheist. He was cold, and if he was here this evening, he would say the very same thing. Up until the point when the Lord came into his life and saved him, he had no knowledge, and he had no care, and he had no thoughts for the things of Christ. And I don't want to go into all the details of his own testimony, but it's one that it's always worth hearing. Because it's a testimony which demonstrates what Christ does in salvation. And when the Lord says that all things become new and the old things have passed away, in the life of my stepdad, when I saw that take place, it had a profound impact upon my own life. Because here was a man who lived really only for himself. He even went to the depths of trying to prove that there was no God. And he would bring out books upon evolution, trying to disprove the very existence of a holy and a mighty God. And he would say himself that the more he delved into those books, the more he was convinced that there was a God. And every time he looked for an argument, he found an answer. And the Lord dealt with him in a marvellous way. And sometimes whenever I give my testimony, I would just say how the Lord saved my stepdad. It's a tremendous testimony. He was on his way to work, and as he was mulling over these questions, he would often go over within his mind. And the one that he would always stumble over was the resurrection of Christ. There was one morning when he was deeply under the burden of his sin and his guilt, and he had never been to a gospel preaching church. It was only really the witnessing of my mum, because she was a Christian. Sadly, she had backslidden, but she came back to the Lord and began to witness to him. And the more he tried to argue, the more he found himself convicted. And one morning as he walked to work, he went over the resurrection of Christ, and the Lord dealt with him. And he realized that he could not deny it any longer, and he said to himself that he is alive, therefore I am lost. I'm lost in the position that I'm found in. And he went into a church. It happened to be a high Anglican church, and full of all of statues and images, but it didn't matter really, it's only a building. And he there broke down upon his knees, and the Lord saved him and had mercy upon him. Now the reason why I tell you that is because that had a real impact upon me. My mum to me, she was always a good person, you see. Even though when she came back to the Lord, she always seemed to be the mum that I knew. Except for now, she'd just become a little bit religious within her life. But when I saw my stepdad, And how he was changed, and what God had done within his life, it made me think. And it made all of us in our family start to think about things. And we would often ask questions, especially myself and my sister. We were the ones at home at that time, and so many times we would speak to my mum and to my stepdad, and we would ask these questions, and to be honest, we were not fair at times. And the question we would ask were times we were harsh and unfair in our approach. But my mum was always very faithful in giving me a good answer to every question, a biblical answer. And every time I came with a challenge, she gave me something that I had to think upon. I had no real answers, no questions to give anymore. Often I would say to her, well, you know, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as other people. And I remember she would always bring that great commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind and strength. And she would challenge me with that question. And say, well, have you loved God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength? And I had to confess that I hadn't done that. Who has? And therefore, as we read in James, if we break one area, one point of the law, we are declared guilty of all. And I knew that I had fallen short of God's standard and His glory. But at the age of 16, you see, I was a very tough man and didn't really want to know the things of God. Really, only in private I was asking these questions. And one of the great hindrances and barriers I had, humanly speaking, were the friends that I had. You see, as I grew up through school, especially secondary school, and in the later years, I became involved in a group of friends that were no good. And I'm ashamed to say to this day of the things that we did and the depths to which we sunk. And yet there was still that grip that I didn't want to get rid of those things. So I was quite happy within them. There was a temporal satisfaction. There was that temporal pleasure that it gives. And I often think to myself, well, you know, if I was to be saved, and if I was to be Christian, I don't really know any friends or anyone in the town in which I lived. Apart from my own mum and now my stepdad and a few people at the church which they began to attend, which was the Free Presbyterian Church in Lewis. And I thought, well, except for those people, I don't really know anyone that is saved. And it had an effect upon me. And often mum would say to me, you know, as I would think so much about what people were thinking and how people regarded me, and she'd often say, well, you know, how does God see you? And how does God think about you? And what is his judgment? And what is his opinion? And again, I had no answer for that. Remember one time, Mr. Noel Shields, he was the minister there in Lewis for the years when I was in Lewis. And his son David, he must have been only about 8 or 9 at the time. But really just a few months before I was saved, he came to me with a little envelope. And he wrote some words in the envelope. He wanted to give it to me. And again, as I said, here was I, a tough individual. Thought I knew everything. And I didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to hear any of these things. But I looked at this card which David gave to me. And he just wrote in these simple words. Words of just a child. He says, "Dear Patrick, it is good to serve the Lord." And you know, that had a real effect upon me. And it was like a sword to my heart, because it convinced me of the reality that I thought, well, I'm so tough within myself that I don't need to be a Christian. I don't need these things. I was too proud of who I was. And here was a young child who was able to take a stand and to speak well of his Saviour. And the Lord really used those simple words from a child just to speak to my heart. I went through school believing that we came from monkeys. And come to think of it now, it was a bit of a strange thought that I had within my head. But you know, back in a lot of schools, that's just the way that people are taught. And you go through school and it's just a system which is drilled into you. And there's no option, there's no alternative. And so my whole life I really was brought up with some vague idea of God as a nativity scene or something. But all the time really in the back of my head thinking, well, I descended from hairy animals. And then you start to look at some people and you realise it could be true. But there's no one here this evening I don't think really fits into that category. But that was one sticky point in my life. And again, the Lord confounded me. I watched this video about evolution and creation, and I have to say I was left in no doubt after I watched it as to the existence of God. I just had to think about the creation all around us. And I had to think about the glory of what we have surrounding us in the way of nature and might and power, and even our own existence. And I was left convinced that, well, God is there. And all these things the Lord was using to speak to me, and all these alleyways I tried to go down, there was no end to them. There was no argument I could give anymore. And the one thing that really held me back, as I said, were my friends. That was one thing. One thing. I do believe the Lord answered that in July 1999. The Free Presbyterian Church sent a group of young people down to Lewis to do outreach. As you know, they continue to do that to this day in many different churches in the mainland. And I thank God for them. And I came into their company, I don't know how, but I managed to get duped into going along with them for a week. And having friendship with them. And it was a very special time in my life, because I began to look at their lives and look at their speech. I had grown up with a group of friends, and while I don't slander them at all to this day, yet their lifestyle left much to be desired, just like mine. And then I began to compare them with the friends or these young people that I now knew from here, from Northern Ireland. And I watched them. Just like I watched my stepdad to see if he would slip up. And I watched them. And I looked for their actions. And I looked for what they were saying. And I looked for what they loved. And they were a tremendous witness to my soul. I remember one boy, Neil. I often say this when I would testify, that he was like that personal evangelist. He came alongside me. He didn't want to leave my side. He was always there. He was always sharing his testimony. He would always speak of what the Lord has done for him. He was recently saved, and with the joy that he had, he began to share it with me. He would often share that verse in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I had many funny ideas in my head. Here was the simple answer. I was stuck and I had no more questions, and yet I still did not know what quite to do. And here was the answer: to call on the name of Christ by faith, and you will be saved. And I can say this to this day, and it's a challenge to everyone here, to myself, I challenge myself again, to every young person: your life is watched. Without any shadow of a doubt, it's watched. People look for mistakes and they look for errors, and they're very quick to criticize when they happen. But no, they're looking for you to live as you profess. And it's a challenging thought, isn't it? And I thank God for keeping those young people. It was at the end of that week of outreach. They were about to leave. And one of them, Neil, as I said, he came to me. And at this stage, while I didn't understand everything to do the gospel, and I admit that freely and honestly this evening, I didn't have every knowledge or understanding of what it is to be saved and certain things in the Bible. I was far from that knowledge. But I knew my need, and I knew I needed the one who met that need. And there was that gap I needed bridged. And he came to me and he just said, "Paddy," and it was from that day forth that my real name was lost into some sort of existence, and I became Paddy for the next 5 years of my life. Maybe if ever I go back home, I'll discover I'm called Patrick again. I'm not too sure. I don't mind, really. Sometimes you get different alternatives, and you get Big Paddy Englishman. I don't know why they call me that. I'm not too sure why it's Big Paddy. Maybe it's something to do with having a bit of weight on me. I'm not too sure. But he says, "Paddy, do you want to be saved?" And I did. There was no doubt within my heart. I wanted to know Christ. And I said, "I do." And I'm sure he was taken back a bit. And he says, "Are you sure? I want to be saved." And he took me up to a bedroom there. Reverend Wesley Dole, he was also in charge of that outreach, and he was there as well. And they opened up the scriptures to me and showed me the way of salvation. And again pointed me to that verse in Romans 10:13. And I'll be honest with you here this evening, I prayed a prayer. But it was just really word form from my lips. And I knew it didn't really mean anything. I was just going along with what they were saying, and it wasn't from the heart. And I stopped myself again, and I just, from the quietness of my heart, I asked the Lord to forgive me for all my sins. And I was well aware of what they were, and still am. And I asked him to forgive me and to have mercy and save my soul. And I had some foolish notion that, whenever someone's saved or becomes a Christian, that someone lights a match and a firework display takes place around their back, and all these angels come piling down with trumpet blasts. And I was wrong. There was a great assurance that I found in this book. Because when I place my name there, it says that when you shall call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And that's the assurance that I received at that day. And you know what, while time has gone here really, and I want to close this testimony, I can say that there were times onwards after I was saved, and I went through hard times, lacking assurance. And the reason why I did that was because I began to look far too much at a profession, and I took my eyes off Christ. And it was only whenever I read a message by C.H. Spurgeon, and he dealt with the object of faith, Christ, who is perfect in all of his ways, and he said, "Therefore, if he is perfect, your salvation is perfect." And that great burden fell once again. And I rested in the assurance of Christ's salvation. Have you gone through that trial, that doubt? Maybe you are going through that. I urge you to turn to Christ who is perfect. Therefore, his salvation is perfect. I'd love just to share with you for a moment really about what the Lord has done in my life since that. And I am conscious of time here, but the Lord has led me on. I often say, and it's something upon my heart lately that really has impressed itself upon me, that you know we are so prone to change. And yet we have one who never changes. And that's a real comforting truth. There were times as I went on in my Christian life, and because of the lack of Christian friends, I did find it hard, I'll be honest with you. There were times whenever, as I went to work, I reached a point where I felt, well, I can just give up here because no one really knows who I am. No one cares if I turn back. And the Lord brought a real challenge to my heart at that time. And it was the words of Christ as he spoke to the disciples, whenever many forsook him because they found his sayings hard to bear. And he said, will you also go away? And the Lord took that word and placed it upon my heart, and he said, will you also go away? And it was a challenge that dealt with me at that time. Maybe it deals with you. You feel that you want to turn back. You feel that you want to give up. And there's a great need that's all around us. And the Lord issues you that challenge. Will you also go away? I thank God for him keeping me and bringing me into the college. Through various different scriptures and passages, the Lord spoke to me through. And different doors were opened. And it was in 2002 that I entered into the Whitford College. Thank God for the first 2 years and a time spent in Australia ministering in Port Lincoln. And even coming back now. But you know, my prayer this evening is that the Lord will work in your heart. He can save wherever we come from. Just like Psalm 107 says, from the east or from the west, from the north or from the south, from this country, from England, from Wales or Scotland, doesn't matter. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. May the Lord bless your own heart. Thank you.